Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap that we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hello, my little Benoonies.
Hi, how are you?
So good. So, guys, this recap is at night. This is coming up at night, and the reason for that is because the Bravoverse had an insane weekend, okay, with this Tom and Ariana cheating scandal from Vanderpump Rules, so we did an episode about that. So excited to get to Real Housewives of Potomac. You know, it was 90 minutes, but it was a pretty fun 90 minutes.
It was frustrating. It was interesting. But... yeah. It was fun. I thought actually the conversation with like Chris and Giselle, there was a lot of stuff going on in that conversation, a lot of subtext, which I thought was interesting. I'm not sure that I got anything more from the Andy and Robin exchange at the end. Like, they're like, this is including unseen footage, but I didn't really know what I hadn't seen before.
It's sort of this is all the including same. One-on-one footage. I'm like, do you know what one-on-one means? I mean, I know you're not 2020, but one-on-one means two people. Ebony's sitting right there sipping her drink and getting answers. That is not a one-on-one, sir.
Ebony was the, I think she was the breakout star of that section because she just spent the entire time. This is her Ebony's best work that she's done on Bravo. She was just sitting there like sipping her drink, looking left and right, like a Felix the Cat clock, you know, like she was basically doing like, is anyone else hearing what I'm hearing? Is anyone else? Like, this is crazy, right? This is crazy.
She really was. I feel like if she had performed like that on like before Real Housewives of New York, her debut on that, people would have had a much different reaction. Like, you're going in with all that love, because I thought she was great too. I was like, wow, yeah. Look at me missing Ebony. That's crazy. So I'm looking up. Guess what I'm Googling right now? Watch What Crappens. You know why, you guys? We're in the news. I'm just kidding. We are on tour. And this month is going to be nuts. We're going to be in a ton of cities this month. So it's going to be so fun. And listen, Ben and I love recapping on a normal day, but we especially love recapping when we're loopy and exhausted. And that's what we're going to be doing. And it is, we start this week, Charlotte on the 9th. And then a couple nights later, we're in Atlanta. Then we're going to Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, and San Francisco. That's all this month. For the rest of our tour dates, there's a ton of them. We're going through June. Go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, the bonus that we recorded about Vanderpump Rules is out. We release that for everybody. It's normally on Patreon. If you want all of the bonuses, all the videos, all that, Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. So let's get on with today. Reunion part three.
I just also want to state one thing, which is that for our Charlotte show, we are recapping the latest Vanderpump Rules. And for our Atlanta show, we're recapping the latest Real Housewives of Miami. I think both shows are going to be off the hook. And the Vanderpump Rules one in Charlotte, I mean, people already started tweeting like, oh my God, now that this scandal's broken, like I'm getting a ticket. So I think that show's actually almost sold out as it is anyway. So if you're thinking about doing it and want to be part of what's going to be a very spirited and lively audience, like this is going to be like the show. Like this is going to be it. You know, like this is our like a first live show fresh off the heels of this crazy scandal. So if you
want to be part of that. And it's our first Vanderpump Rules of the season. And, you know, we really get to hear you guys back. And we really get to hear you guys in these live shows, obviously, because you're there. And I plan on getting a lot of booze this week on Vanderpump Rules. I just feel it coming, you know, because everybody is so upset. So don't feel bad. Come boo me. I'll just roll around in it.
Let's all have that moment. Just don't destroy any property in the theater. That's my only request.
Don't murder
us. We're not inciting riots, but we are inciting emotion. Okay. We want everyone to bring all their emotions.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Let's get on to reunion. We are now in the Jacqueline and Mia section, which, listen, you know, I feel like it's important to be the kind of person that admits when they make a mistake. I was very excited for Mia to get another season. And I have to say, I take it back. Mia needs to fucking go. And all of you that told me I was crazy, you were totally correct. Mia is terrible. She's everything I hate about a cast member. Just lying constantly just for fun. I just don't like that. I don't love the, like, I'm just going to lie and then just pretend I didn't lie or just pretend like it's not a big deal. You know, literally everything she said this season was a lie. Everything. Like,
yeah, I think you're actually onto something. You guys all know me. I'm always the sort of person who if a cast member gives me like an ounce of enjoyment, I'm always like, keep them forever. But I think you may be right. Like, I was with you. I think that Mia deserved a second season. I don't think she was necessarily bad. I'm not going to necessarily advocate that she goes, but if she does go, I wouldn't be upset about it because she just is like a little bit more, she's more like reality star-ish, if that makes sense. She just doesn't seem like she's of the same world of the other cast members necessarily. And, she just says shit and she's just like a little trashier. And I don't know. I don't think it's a good necessarily, it might not be the best fit for Potomac going forward.
Sometimes I don't even mind the trashiness. Honestly, it's just the lies. It's like, you're supposed to come at
the lies.
You're supposed to come at the, you know, the fights are fun. The drama's fun. She's charming. She's got a fun personality. You know, she's very funny. It's just when everything you say is a lie, it's just, we roll our eyes at everything. You know, like, why am I sitting here watching a 90-minute episode where half of the hour is about you? You're just lying, dude. So Jacqueline's like, we cut in between their fight, right? Still Jacqueline and Mia going at each other. And Jacqueline's saying, you're very unhinged. And you sent a group text saying, my house is in foreclosure and I need to get my food stamps. And then Mia just steals another housewives line because that's all she does is fucking steal lines from other housewives that are way better than her. And she's like, don't start and I won't be none.
And like her stealing these housewives lines also gets to a deeper truth about Mia, which is that she is inherently not that interesting. You know, I think her backstory about being a foster child is very tragic and that's interesting. But like what's going on in her life now is, you know, opening up offices of the joint chiropractic, or maybe I guess losing those joint chiropractics. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know for next year. If someone says, ooh, can't wait for next season of Potomac, we're going to watch someone as they lose their Jamba Juice franchise. I'm like,
I could watch that. I could watch that if it's like the brothers and stuff who took the business and we learned that they took it because of what Mia and Gordon are doing. Like, that stuff I would find interesting. But right now, Mia's just coming out here, just lying and then not even caring. And then stealing lines. And she was never the CEO of that damn company. We all knew it. We said it here a million times.
You know? Right. Jacqueline says, like, you never were the CEO. I mean, it's like, lies. And then Jacqueline is like, I know all about it. I know all the details. So she pulls out her little, you know, folder from Office Max. And then Mia pulls out her box, her Pandora's box right here. It's full of all the jewels because I went to Pandora. It's like, that's the jewelry. You're not the right Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. And then they're doing this like, oh, so you want me to bring it out? Oh, you want to start? Then fine, I'll bring some out. Oh, yeah, you want me to show? Oh, yeah, you want me to show it? And then Mia picks out papers from her box and just starts like, putting the first page in the last page and the second page in the middle of the pages and the third page, like in like three quarters of the way through, you know, just shuffling papers for fun. There's nothing on that paper.
That's called seventh grade school musical Mia in the role of office worker. Like, yes, I have paper. Yes. So,
or when you're pretending to be a newscaster and you just start, it's like, okay, we'll be back after this break. And you're just like shuffling papers around to look serious.
Yeah, exactly.
If that was evidence, it couldn't just be in any order. It would be in an order. I'm sorry that I feel the need to point that out, but goddamn, Mia, Jesus.
Yeah. And so Jacqueline is, Jacqueline's like, says that Mia, it's like, Mia claims she was with my mother on Mother's Day. She was not. And Mia goes, well, I wasn't with her, but I was on the phone with her for about an hour, like FaceTime with my fam. It's like, what?
Yeah. So that's not being with her. So why did you say that? Like, come on. And Eddie's like, oh, okay. Because everybody's just sick of calling her out because it's literally everything that comes out of her mouth. So she's like, okay, fine, whatever. And Jacqueline says, yeah. And then she talks about me with married men, but she needs to focus on how her husband never knows her whereabouts. Really? That's what you've got? You're a waste of my fucking time, too. You don't know where your husband is? What is he, 5 years old? Or she? What is she, 5 years old? Who cares? There's no commercial that comes on saying it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your wife is? Okay. She's an adult.
Maybe in Potomac there is. And so she basically, though, it's not even about the whereabouts. It's basically the fact that he doesn't trust her because he just, G thought that Mia went back to like an ex, you know? And so Andy, and he just cuts to Andy and he just has that look like, oh man, I thought we left these fights behind with the Salt Lake City reunion. He's like, because they filmed these back to back, and he just has this look on his face like, oh God, is this what this show's come to right now?
Yes. And she's saying, yeah, well, he was looking for you because you went to Atlanta and you went to a wedding and he thought you were with a man. And Mia's like, well, I was going to have brunch with my ex's mother, and that's why he was mad. Like, why are you going for everybody's mother? You know, what's with you trying to have brunches with everybody's mother to use against your enemies in fights? Like, what's up with you, dude?
I mean, she literally does have mommy issues, so it sort of tracks. Jacqueline's like, my point is that her own husband doesn't believe her lies. Excuse me, I just choked myself up. It's a very emotional scene. Talk, Roddy, talk.
So Andy's like, okay, well, anything else from you? Telling Mia, because she read out all these papers but hasn't used them yet. And so Wendy goes, hey, she's put in a box away. And Mia's like,
there's a lot of papers in there. Let me just tell you.
And Andy goes, I know. She goes, but I'm not going to go there. He's like, ugh. Andy's just like, oh my God. He brought out a whole box with blank papers. Like, seriously? Yeah. It's like, Jacqueline, did you and Gordon ever have sex? Let me just, like, listen.
Let's just get to it. Let's just get to the only question that really matters.
And meanwhile, Wendy says, or was that just the narrative? What were you saying? I'm sorry. Meanwhile, what?
Meanwhile, I nearly just, like, choked to death trying to do a Mia impersonation. I just want to say I'm sorry to everyone who I just got. I was like, I dislodged some fleck of almond that was there for about like an hour ago when I had a chocolate covered almond. It just like dislodged, went right to the back of my throat in the middle of a Mia impersonation. I was like, if I die like this, tell them I died sad.
You just made it a lot less gross, that's for sure. You went from choking to choking because something dislodged from part of your throat down to another part of your throat.
No, like it was like a little speck of almond was like probably in between two teeth, you know?
Fucking nuts. Classic, I'm telling you. You know, it's nuts and popcorn. They're murderers. I wonder how many people those foods have killed and people just don't talk about it. Like they've just got really good PR and people just don't mention it.
Yeah. Hey, did you have sex with popcorn, Jacqueline? She's like, no. And Wendy's like, well, what was that a narrative that was tried to out on you? And Jacqueline's like, that was a narrative that some of the ladies believed or thought that we did. And I didn't run with it. Mia's never said we had sex. And Giselle's like, yes, but you're a grown woman. Nah, if someone's asking if you had sex with someone, it's neither a yes or a no. Wah.
And Jacqueline, you were purposely making people think that you guys had sex. That was what you guys were doing for your stupid storyline at the start of the season. You were being coy and hinting around that you were all fucking Gordon. Okay, like, why is nobody calling this out? And Andy asks her if she sleeps with married men, and she's like, no, never. And he's like, okay, so Mia, where'd you come up with that? And she's just like,
you know, I'm just going to let her have that one.
No, you don't get to just like, everything I say is bullshit. I can't with fucking, I'm going to stop repeating myself, but it's happening over and over, you know?
Yeah, this was like a very uninteresting storyline that we're now rehashing. And so Andy's like, so do you two have any sexual relationship? And like, no. And Jacqueline's like, yeah, we're just friends. We're just like sisters who, you know, have sex with each other. That's it. And Andy's like, okay, well, Philadelphia from Cream Cheese says, Mia, if you had such issues with Jacqueline sleeping with married men as a friend, why did you not discuss that with her in private rather than airing it out here with your friends on TV?
And Candace goes, because we're on a reality show about our lives. And Mia's like,
I don't know, no. I only outed Jacqueline as a response because she came after Gordon.
And everyone looks at her like, what? And she's like,
she said I need to get more dick. And Jacqueline is the only person on this platform that knows Gordon is a colon cancer survivor. Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I think it was prostate cancer.
That is the biggest reach.
I was like, what? And then she's like, yeah, she used that as a moment to come after my husband and his in-performance and whatever he can't do. Like, I didn't come to this group and see Jack sleeping around with a married man. Like, but she came after my husband's penis. I'm like, I'm sorry for your husband's quote-unquote in-performance, but...
But see, this is also why I liked her, because who says that?
You came after my husband's penis!
I know, I was like, I'm... not sure that's what she literally did. And, like, she just, she's ridiculous.
So the way she strings it together is because Gordon had, what was it, prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer.
Which, I guess, makes his penis not work. Which then makes Jacqueline saying that she needs to get dick a diss on his penis not working because of cancer, which leads Mia to say, so let's talk about all the married penises you're sleeping with, because there's a lot of them. I mean, that's...
And she goes, and be careful because I do have a text message of you saying, I do need to stop fucking married man and I'm in love with a married man. So you better be careful, Jacqueline.
Just two can tango.
Which is not how that saying goes either. And so Andy's like, well, if you met him while he was married, then how are you saying close your legs to married men? Well, TM, Nene Leakes, you're gonna owe some money for that one. Another lie that's not yours. You stole a husband. And a line in one sentence. Congratulations, that's actually a record.
I should have closed my legs to married men, but I didn't. I didn't deny it. She is denying it. I mean, the lies. I mean, she's just real tardy for the party, am I right?
I'm worldwide, bitch.
You know what? The crown is heavy, darling. Throw me to the wolves and watch me come back leading the pack.
Own it. Own it.
So Jacqueline's like, she not once called me. And Mia's like, well, I just can't be the friend that you need. I just can't. And Jacqueline's like, she never once called me and said, I'm sorry I was a shitty friend, posting the video, sending that my home was foreclosed on. Your home was foreclosed on. And you never gave me a dollar. And she goes, but you still asked Gordon for money. So then Andy asks how much money they gave Jacqueline, and he's like, we know about the Porsche. And he's like, no, she lied about the Porsche. We didn't buy her a Porsche.
Jacqueline's like, did I need a story or did you need a story? Okay, because Mia never bought my Porsche. And he's like, well, first you said he didn't, and then you said he did make a down payment. And Jacqueline's like, Mia wanted that type of narrative. You know, a good old-fashioned break the internet buying a Porsche storyline, and I did lie about it because she kept on pushing me. She wants me to be your underling. Big mistake. That's not the woman I am. I buy my own Porsches, and I don't need anyone to support me. And look, here is a piece of paper from CarMax that says, I, Jacqueline What's-Her-Face, that is my last name, bought a Porsche.
Okay, all the evidence she's bringing means nothing, okay? You can have somebody else pay for your car and put it in your name. It doesn't It doesn't matter. Like, if someone bought you a car, they could put it under your name, you dumbass.
Not only does it mean nothing, it's deeply uninteresting. Like, it's like,
it really is.
I'm like, we're watching a squabble about a car title, and like, to note, to what end is it, like, what is this? Okay, so there may be some lies about the car. I mean, I really don't, at this point, just like, get a Volkswagen or something. I just get it out of my face.
So Mia is
starting to talk like Bethany. get a Volkswagen. Okay, like, get it out of my face. Like, I don't want it. You want a Jetta? Get a Jetta. You want a Porsche? Get a Porsche. Get a Cayenne. Okay, get some pepper. Oh, you know what you should do? Get some paprika. How about that?
So Jacqueline's like, she does her whole speech. Like, I'm not an underling. So Mia goes, well, it's so crazy because you're a CEO and you're sitting on pianos. What? Panels. What does that mean?
Panels.
You're sitting on panels?
Like talking panels? But I would imagine that Mia would say pianos.
I was like, what's she a CEO? Bueller, are you going to say
she's
down?
A CEO.
Just relax? Like, just relax.
You're the CEO of the Fabulous Baker Boys.
sitting on pianos. But the reason you even have an EIN is because of Gordon, and he suggested you get one. Really? Now it's an EIN fight? Come on.
Now it's a fight about who inspired you to go to the Secretary of State website to get an EIN? Crying out loud.
And then it just goes to show you, Mia's just losing grasp out of another lie, you know? And she's like, well, he inspired you to go into entrepreneurship.
Gordon told you about LegalZoom.com. Where would you be without that?
Oh my God. I was like, is that bad? Is that bad to inspire somebody to be an entrepreneur? Why also, are you, like, you holding that against her?
But also, like, well, she's using it to say, like, look at how much. I don't even know what the fight is about anymore at this point, by
Neither
the way.
Neither does
it's
she.
Like, it's like, they're, it's like, I think it's supposed to be, look at all the things we've done for you. You know, like, oh, look at this thing that he, look how he invested his time and energy telling Jacqueline that there's such a thing as an EIN, which is like a social security number, but for business. And you can get them on the internet, and then you have one.
Everyone's so bored of this, right? Because it doesn't even make any sense. And so Robin's like, did you have any regrets in the discussion of it? Robin's doing this, like, did you notice that Robin's adding like this extra offended tone? It's hilarious.
It sounded like you were doing a Robin impersonation of the lawyer from Serial.
That's how she's acting. She's acting like she keeps getting people, but she's not getting anybody. It's so funny. So Candace is like, what they're trying to say is they're amending. And Andy's like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because Candace is doing that thing where she's kind of being the host. Like, she's got this huge dress that's laid all over the couch and all over the floor. And every time somebody says something, Candace is like, well, let me explain it to you. And Andy's like, this is my job. Okay, lady.
And Andy is so funny because he's like, he's done with this. So he's like, well, Jacqueline, the good news is you made a few friends. The bad news, you lost a sister. Anyway, I hope you two can figure this out. I was like, yeah, she made a bunch of superficial friends. We're never going to talk to her again. And then she lost her sister for life. Like, that's not a good news, bad news. The good news is you got to be on TV for a little bit. The bad news is someone who was near and dear to you and thought was going to be your best friend for the rest of your life, you'll grow old together and sit in rocking chairs and talk about being, you know, girlfriends back in the day and showering in Miami. Well, that's all gone.
Hope you can figure this out now off camera because you're boring and you're never going to be on camera again. Bye!
Good luck with that EIN. Don't forget, corporate taxes in March, not April. Bye!
I don't think I've ever heard him say, okay, I hope you can figure this out off camera.
Hope you can figure this out on a different network. Might I suggest the... whatever that thing is that does TV shows on gas pumps. Good luck.
Yeah, so she gets up and Candace just goes, bye, girl. Wendy says, oh, yeah, forward me those receipts. And Karen's like, now, Wendy. Oh, my gosh.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. If you're looking for the answer to deep philosophical questions like, what is the meaning of life? I can't really help you. But I do believe that we really enrich our experience here by learning from others. And that's why in each episode, I like to talk with actors, musicians, artists, scientists, and many more types of people about how they get the most out of life. We explore how they felt during the highs and sometimes more importantly, the lows of their careers. We discuss how they've been able to stay happy during some of the harder times. But if I'm being honest, it's mostly just fun chats between friends about the important stuff. Like, if you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it? Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
In the aftermath of a shocking crime, people always ask why. Why would someone do something like that? What could possibly push them to commit such a horrible act? Was it money? Revenge? What makes people like that tick? I'm Candace DeLong, host of the podcast Killer Psyche, where I explain the thoughts, motivation, and behaviors of the most violent figures in history. You may think you know these cases, but trust me, you do not. Using my decades of experience as an FBI agent and criminal profiler, I dig deeper into the twisted psychology of why. Many of the cases covered on Killer Psyche I actually worked on, like the serial killer Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and Dennis Rader, also known as BTK. Follow Killer Psyche wherever you get your podcast. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
It's commercial.
So now we go back to the dressing room, and it's the thawing.
The shoshening. And she's like, normally I'm really nervous, but right now I'm not even nervous. And because her makeup artist is basically asking her questions because no one else is. She's like, is there anyone you're nervous to see? She goes, no, I like all of them. I mean, there's probably someone who doesn't want to see me. I mean, she doesn't even faze me. We're on two different vibration levels and I vibrate very, very high.
Yeah, you are on very different vibration levels. For example, she has someone in her dressing room asking questions and you have to tell the hairdresser to do it. So yeah. There's that. So Charisse comes out and hugs Andy, and he's like, whoa, Shasha, wow, hoverboard, thumping room, it's awesome. All right, I'm going to go back to swiping my phone now. Please take a seat.
Great. Excuse me while I slide my butt to the front of my seat and my back to the bottom of my seat and check my text messages. Okay, welcome back, Shasha.
I'm happy to finally be out here because, you know, she's been back there 9 hours pretending to get her hair combed. And Andy's like, well, I feel like it's been 4 years since I've seen you. And then we see her clip at one of the reunions going, in Potomac, people have planes. They have spaceships. So for people to call Karen the Grand Dame of not a damn thing because she doesn't compare.
Yeah, and that was when she sort of had like a Cleopatra hair, so that was like really fun. So then so Andy is like, well, welcome back, we are joined by the lovely Charisse Jackson Jordan sitting in the one humid spot in this entire stage. Sorry about that, Shasha. She's like fanning herself and sweating and her hair is just already destroyed. So how you doing, Shasha? Nice to have you back. Oh yeah, remember when I said this a second ago? He just dives into the, oh, yes, he says, like, so you were, now a lot has changed. You're officially divorced. Was it a favorable settlement? And she's like, 50-50. Cool. All right.
So Raquel from My Name is Rachel, but I thought a Q would make me sound more exotic, even though I'm a straight up basic B, says, Robin, you ride hard for Charisse, and Charisse has your back sometimes, but does she have your back as much as you've had hers or something? And Robin's like, it's beyond having each other's back. We're friends. And I do want to make a point that she's good friends with people in this group outside Wendy and Karen, but everybody else, Candace loves her. Ashley loves her. Giselle loves her. It's like, okay. So then Andy's like, well, Karen, Tom from Can't Sing and his blowout is embarrassing says you might have started the season lifted, but like a four-wick candle, you couldn't excuse her burning accusations. Okay, just fire who's ever working over there at this point. This is just getting ridiculous, okay?
So we see a whole Karen segment, and then Andy's like, hey, happy 5-9. Oh, thank you, Andy. Thank you. Although it looked like you had the worst birthday ever. Yes, I did. It was very terrible. Okay. Well, Toyota from Celica said, why weren't you open to lunch with Charisse? What is so insurmountable that it can't be discussed over lunch? So Karen goes, I'll explain it. It's my journey of grief and loss, and while no one may understand it, I ask that they respect it. So there, it's been explained. I'm like, wait. No.
Whenever Karen doesn't want to say something, she says, my parents died. I mean, Karen, I'm sorry, okay? And I'm sorry you went through that grief. I really am. I'm not laughing at that. It's just that literally every time Karen's like, well, have a journey of grief, Andy. And that's that.
You know, you're never going to get a straight answer. You're going to get the murkiest, most unclear answer also when Karen says, Let me be very clear about something, Andy. Whenever she says that, that means you're going to get something actually incredibly opaque. Let me be very clear about something. Okay, let me explain this once. Let me tell you something. There once was an opossum and a rug, and I was at HomeGoods, and my tire was flattened, so there you go. What?
Let me tell you something. Grief for Wiccan Muhammad Ali of live shows.
Let me be very clear about something. Paper straws and staples go together like strawberries and a mosquito. There we go. It explains.
Well, Karen, I'm a little confused, because if I wasn't cool with someone and they took the effort to go to a funeral, I would say, wow, that's so meaningful. And she goes, Andy, what I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk about my mother again, Andy. I respectfully decline to answer any more questions about my mother, Andy. Okay,
Karen. I love when she gets into press conference mode. I would just ask that I'd like to have the assembled press corps here to just say that as well. I appreciate what you all do here for today. Unfortunately, I shall be answering no more questions about my mother's funeral, but what I can answer about is multi-wick candles as well as fragrance. Thank you. Diane Sawyer, you're next.
Andy's like, okay, well, Charisse, then why did you go to Karen's mother's funeral? What was your intention? And Charisse says that they were cool, and she doesn't understand this whole, she hasn't talked to Charisse in 5 years, because that's not true. She's like, you know what? This whole thing doesn't exist, this 5 years thing. And Karen pulls out a gigantic nail file and starts filing her nails. And Charisse is like, oh, there she goes with her theatrics.
Well, let me be very clear about something. I have dinner tonight. So Sasha's like, I've been to a fair share of funerals in my family. Andy's like, and this was the first time any of us had heard you'd even attended this. I mean, can I make something very clear out of respect to Charisse, who's been here since the beginning? I mean, literally on this sofa. Every year we have to shoo her off of it. We asked her to come to the show, and I haven't seen her in four years, and she didn't call us up to take you down. I mean, sure, she showed up at the production offices on a hoverboard and sped on through and crashed into a Xerox machine and said, surprise, but, like, we didn't actually call her.
Yeah, you're so full of shit. My ass, you guys didn't do this on purpose. You know, Robin was like, get Charisse back. She'll really take Karen down this time. And they're like, okay. So he goes, but I understand why you might think we did that. And Karen's like, no, what, Andy? Let me be clear. I could understand why you might think it, Slurpee. I love Slurpees. And Karen's like, you know, the thought did cross my mind. And Sharon says, Charisse. Why did I write? Who's Sharon?
Okay. So it's Charisse and Karen together, Sharon.
It's a couple. So she's like, I have a question. Why did Karen invite me to her La Dame event in 2017 if we're not friends? And Karen goes, 18! 2018! Well, that's even worse, Karen, because that's
It was 2019 was the original one, and Karen was trying to push it back to 18.
Oh, well, it's still less than 5 years, you dumb dumb. So Charisse is like, right, but it was still after the service, Karen.
This is, you know what? This is all very painful for me, but okay, I will connect the dots for everyone. Okay, so dot number one, envelopes. We've seen them all, different sizes. Dot number two, shoes. Have you ever heard of a moccasin? A moccasin, moccasin. Raise your hand if you heard moccasins. Okay, dot number three, castor oil. Do we know about castor oil? Okay, Karen, I don't think you're connecting any dots. I think you're just saying random things, so let's move on.
No, I have something to say.
Okay, Robin.
You don't know what 5 years is. That was not 5 years. And, Charisse was invited to Karen's 55th birthday party or something.
Okay, well, I just found another dot, and that dot says that Matt invited her to my birthday party, not me. It was a huge party of so many faces and names, and they're like,
no, it was actually a very intimate birthday party, yeah.
Yes, there were only a few people. I didn't know Matt invited Charisse to go. I had no idea. I had no control over it whatsoever.
And Karen's like, yeah, Charisse wanted to come. And Charisse goes, no, I was invited. And Karen says, well, Matt asked me if she could come, and I said, absolutely. Like, now she's a hero.
Yes.
So then Robin's like, yeah, but if you don't like someone, but then someone said if they could invite her, why did you say yes?
Well, what was I going to do? Say no to Matt.
Yeah. She never. Was already on the way. She was already, I couldn't stop her. You know, Charisse, once she's in a vehicle, it can't be stopped. It's like releasing a missile from the USSR going to Seattle. It's too late, everyone. Get out of the bus coast.
They've literally removed speed bumps from Charisse's neighborhood.
They put down those tire strips, and you know what she does? Her car levitated over them. She's unstoppable.
So now they're all talking at once because Karen is just so full of shit, right? And so Charisse is saying, well, if you throw up that because you think I have bad intention, then... And Andy's like, well, you have been a shady leprechaun, right, Karen? And then we see a clip of Karen saying that. And Charisse just says, you got to get your life together, fifth, and your date. I was like, wow, Charisse, big, big comeback tonight.
Big well, comeback. Sure. Charisse, you came out with every accusation possible. It seemed like, wait, what? Are there more? Are there more? And then it's like a commercial break, and then it comes back, and Sasha's just like, no, there's no more. I was just upset at that point because she started attacking my character. And Karen's like, well, let's finish these horrible things you say about me because they're not true, Charisse. And she goes, what did I say? I didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah. Charisse never says anything about her, really. You've been saying she's been fucking Blue Eyes literally since your second season on the show or your third season. I've never talked about you. Okay.
Well, the reason why I said it was because Robin's like, well, what about the sex in the bathroom with the worker? So Charisse says, the reason why I said it was because you were spewing out all these things people were telling you, and I've never said anything about you until this season. And Karen's like, well, let me be very clear. I have never said one rumor about you being inappropriate sexually because you have children. You have children. And I have heard many things about you. I heard a rumor that you actually were born as a gumdrop and you turned into a human. That explains so much. But have I ever said it? No.
And Andy's like, well, Mia, you heard. So basically he's saying, Mia, you heard the rumor that you brought up on camera sounded extremely detailed, right? So let's let Mia try and do something again, right? And it's the rumor where,
well, I know someone who said, the guy who owns blank restaurant said that you were dating their best friend. And so Mia's like, oh, are we doing that now? Oh, okay. Did someone from Minnesota ask that? He's like, oh, actually, just doing my job here. Moving along. I'm Andy. I'm the boss. I asked that. It's like, well, The person who allegedly said that, and yeah, their family.
Another family member. But I don't want to incriminate someone. So Karen's like, well, I want his number, and I want you to give it to Andy, because I'm going to sue him. I want Andy to call, because she's asking the questions.
And Mia's like, okay, well, if you say it's not true, then it's not true. She goes, you just can't say rumors and then just say it's not true. And Wendy goes, excuse me, I have something to say. One thing about this group is they're mad when there's a rumor about them, but they're quick to say a rumor about somebody else.
And Andy's like, wow, right. Okay. Andy goes, right. That's so true. That's true.
I like that Wendy just really stumbled on a big one there. She's like, whoa.
And he's like, yeah. So Mia's like, the only reason why I brought it up was because you kept on saying, consider the source. I'm like, wow, you're stealing Tamara Barney's line now? Consider the source, bitch. Mm-hmm. And you were like, you were incriminating Charisse. And I was like, I like Charisse. Like, is this true? So I wanted to get it from like another source. So I went to someone else in my extremely large, all-encompassing family. And I wanted to have an opportunity for you to say, oh, it's just a rumor.
Yeah, I was just doing you a favor. That's why I brought it up on TV. So Karen's like, you don't bash my reputation and let this little lady go with it. I mean, it's like, well, like I let Wendy say, I fuck for steak and lobster because I know it's not true. So she can be saying that because it's not true. And Wendy goes, don't forget including shrimp scampi. Include the shrimp scampi too, because you also fuck for shrimp scampi.
You were fucking for shrimp scampi. You had all the parts of the ultimate fisherman's meal, whatever they call it, Red Lobster.
So then Karen's like, listen, Mia, you're saying I'm sleeping with somebody. You're saying Wendy was sleeping with somebody. You can't just say things that aren't true. And then Robin's like, well, you know the rumors that we're talking about aren't just from blogs. They're people calling us and telling us about rumors. They're real people.
I love her locally sourced rumors. She's like, here on Potomac, our rumors are 100% people-based.
These are farm-to-table rumors.
The freshest rumors you can find with a delicious taste you can only get in Potomac.
So she's like, okay, so you're saying that everything that all these people are saying that we know are lying. Yes, Robin, just like you're saying that all of the people who've been saying for years that Juana's cheating on you and you guys are just roommates are lying. That's how it's working, Robin. Yes, you're grasping it.
Karen's like, Robin, I have received phone calls about you, you know, and I every single time someone calls up with a rumor, I'm like, gosh darn it, I pick up that phone and I drag it with its cord all the way to the living room, and I have to listen to rumor after rumor, then say, hold on one moment, there's a call waiting, and then I have to walk back to the kitchen, not get tangled in the cord, press the button, and usually it's too late. It's a process.
I really am sick of getting calls about you, Robin. You know, I answer the phone and they ask me to go do wellness checks on you because it's 3 p.m. and you're still in bed, Robin. Get out of bed.
Sometimes I even get fax rumors from you. I mean, they come from all different sources.
Robin's like, okay, so you're saying all the people calling me. She goes, no one calls you. And in Mexico, I said you were protected because I protected you. So don't say it. And Robin's like, I protected her. I protected her. She doesn't want us to say anything. That's why she's acting like that. The show
works itself into a tizzy and then just kind really of does. Like peters out at the end, you know. It's like by the end you just realize everybody's been lying the whole time and they're right. All just desperate to have something to do.
Hey, it may be time to leave the banks of Potomac, but you can see more of Giselle and Candace this March as they pack their bags and their baggage and head to Thailand for a new season of Ultimate Girls Trip. Let's take a look.
And can so we I just say clip. This was the oddest intro to something I've ever seen. It came at the weirdest time, the weirdest lines, and then what they showed of it was really weird.
It was weird. It was like a clip from Halloween Kills. I was like, wow, they are not giving up on this. No, actually,
Kills.
The clip that they showed was so bad. I was like, are you trying to get us to watch it? It was basically Giselle's like, okay, everyone, nah, I have a little game. Let's all talk about something. And then Candace saying, yeah, Giselle likes to create space for people. Just kidding. She's being shady. I was like,
yeah,
this is the best
thing to do. Well, I think we're going to have to stop with this. Hey, guys, I've got a game for us to play. Like, really, the entire network is centered around card games now that you read each other saucy questions. That's your whole network. It's literally every show now. You guys have to stop it. And I blame Rinna for bringing this shit. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's play a game. But now you guys aren't even letting them come up with questions. You're literally having people pull cards out of an already, like, printed game.
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of the two truths and a lie. Two truths and a lie is actually okay because we can sort of play along. But, like, the never have I evers. These questions, Miami did it twice with the same game. It was crazy. I'm like, we just can't be doing this anymore. It's tiresome. You know, I guess the thing is, it's like all these tropes, they're fine as one-offs, but when you see it on show after show after show, it just shows a lack of creativity. It's like paint by numbers, and Bravo's got to fix that because Bravo's too good for the shit. We're not watching E. We're not watching TLC.
Because I feel like every 2 years, like some like thinker. Like some think piece is written, like how the housewives are all going down. They're all just stupid now. La, la, la. And we still love them. So, of course, I get offended whenever I read one of those. Same. But this is why, guys. This is why those articles come out. Okay? Yeah. Like, you can't just keep doing literally the same thing in every show, you lazy fucks. And there are creative people. It's the same thing as I say about cast members. There's so many unique, talented people out there. The fact that you have to rely on the same old people over and over because you're too fucking lazy to go out there and find any other human being with any original quality is sad. You know?
But you know what?
Keep the same people for too long. And it's the same with your producers. They don't need to all stay the same and, you know, just roll out of bed in the morning and, like, paint by numbers. This shit. Have some pride for what you do. Okay.
And what sucks is, though, that, like, you know, even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. And so once in a while, one of these stupid game things hits and creates real drama. I'm not saying that we're going to see that this week, but I'm not saying that we're not going to see that this week. And for any time that happens, that means they just say, yep, glad we did the question game thing. Let's do it five times more in this season now because it worked once. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I do. I was taking a drink. I opened a Topo Chico. It exploded all over me. Then I was wiping my desk, but I was listening to you. I was just also trying to sip bubbles so they didn't dry me.
It's a nice ode to Mexican dynasties. The Topo Chico lady, or the heir to the Topo Chico.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, and I think that they need to be more creative. And also, the card games are just a conversation starter, and if you don't have people who can start conversations, you need to fucking cast better. Okay.
Also, if people don't want to play these games in real life, because I personally don't want to play these games in real life. Like, if I'm pulling out a card game, it's gonna be funny shit. Like, I want it to be a funny shit party game.
What friend group buys a game where you say, "Who do you trust the least?" You know, that's coming up later this week. Like,
yeah,
who do you trust the least? Like, who do you hate the most? You know, in this group, what a fucking disgusting.
What a stupid card game. And also, like, you know what? I remember in the 80s, I had a game called Scruples. When I was way too young for it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scruples.
Oh, yeah. Back in the
day. Oh, yeah. You know, it's about, you know, going, if you were a hat dish, what kind of hat dish would you be? But
a Scruples hat dish?
I mean, I was like 9. There was no reason for me to. I didn't understand why this was even a game. But, like, at least play Scruples. Because at least with Scruples, the questions are like, you back your car into another car that's parked. Do you leave a note or not? Like that, I'm like, okay, I'll hear what you have to say. But it's always the same thing of like, who is someone you would make out with? It's like, well, that's not an interesting question. I don't care who you guys are going to make out with. I want to know what you're going to do about the car you just backed into.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. How much do you tip? You know what? I want questions like, how much do you tip? Do you tip for takeout? Do you not tip for takeout? Like, what do you press at those kiosks when they swivel around and you're standing right in front of them? Those are the questions I'm like, if you're going to force me to listen to any questions, I want to hear those questions. But I don't want to hear about someone who you would go on a date with. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Agreed. Like, DoorDash versus Uber and why, you know?
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, weird, super intro to this show, even though I'm so excited. It starts March 23rd, the girls' strip show. So Andy's like, well, Robin! So he's like, we get into the, finally, you guys got married. And then we get the choir music from Salt Lake City because, again, cheap, fucking cheap. And then Robin's segment is honestly so boring. Here's my note from the Robin segment. I swiped my phone this whole segment.
Yeah, it was about like the prenup. And Giselle thought she was going to get invited last minute, but she didn't. And she felt some sort of way.
Yeah, she should be. That's bullshit.
She should be. She's your podcast co-host. If Ronnie and I had an intimate ceremony, if Dom and I had an intimate ceremony, I would invite you, Ronnie.
You better, you know, and if you told me it's intimate and I'm not inviting anybody, I would say, well, it's okay, Ben, but thank you for thinking of me. I appreciate that, but I won't burn your house down. But if you didn't invite me, I would be like, you could die. Like, there could be death in your future, you know?
No.
And I would invite you if God, oh my God, talk about a miracle. That would be like the Red Sea parting again, you know? So anyway, we get to Robin being happy. She changed her mind. Giselle's a little upset. She got over it. Did they have the prenup? And Robin lies again and says, yeah, we have a prenup that's 50-50. Oh, really, Robin? That's a prenup? That's called marriage, Robin. You dumb. Fucking paid a lawyer for nothing, you idiot.
Yeah. And she talks about, they split it down the middle. And is there an infidelity clause? And she's like, no, well, because I could be setting myself up. I was like, no, because there's like gray areas. And I, you know, what if I get dinged on that? I was like, well, that sounds like a great foundation to a marriage. Congratulations.
I know she's trying to sound empowered. But that's not working out. Also, you lied to us the whole season, so you can go fuck yourself. I don't care about your season or your storyline, and you should go with Mia. I think Mia and Robin should get in a bus and be taken to Shut Up Mountain. I'm sick of both.
Well, Fleischman from Is in Trouble says, Karen, why were you so pressed so much about Robin's wedding? She just wanted a private ceremony. It's giving obsessed, Grandam. And she goes, fine, call me out. I've, yes, okay, I was obsessed with it. I thought,
How pathetic could a wedding really be? I just never thought something could be so small and insignificant and unspecial and unpleasant. I just wanted to see how it would pan out. That's all.
Did you see also that happened kind of this weekend, a little bit before, all the stuff that came out about Juan again, yet again?
There were pictures. Someone took, Bravo this weekend?
Yeah, someone took a picture of Juan in a laundromat with this woman that he's supposedly dating. And they're all saying it does look just like Karen. I don't really see it personally. She's very pretty. She's supposedly the athletic director of another college. I don't know what it proves. I mean, to me, it looks like friends doing laundry. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be a couple doing laundry. I don't know. But then the rumors went crazy. And then they posted, they took a picture together and posted it. Like, get a life to people.
Get a life.
Get a fucking life, people.
So Andy's like, Karen, you revealed that Juan not only is a secret girlfriend, but she looks like you. And she does laundry. In what way does she look like you? And Karen's like, oh, well, you know. She's just blonde. It's not like that. Scribble, scrabble. That image was a reach. That scribble, scrabble, no scribble, scrabble, Andy.
And Robin's like, remember when we were in Miami and you got all fake mad saying, oh, you're not going to talk about me. And then here you come. And Andy's like, was that your grand dom impersonation? Because I wasn't. Yeah, hold on. I'll do it again. You're not going to talk about me.
Wow, yeah, these Karen... little work.
Because Karen in Miami was like, unless they are names, pictures, numbers, shut the fuck up. So Karen's like, you're right. There's only one regrettable moment I had, and I was being messy because I was just pissed off at that point. Once again, I just want to mention Scribble Scrabble.
So Robin's saying you came with no evidence, and Karen is saying, yeah, I was messy. And Andy says, well, what's the root of Juan's anger in that moment? Really, Andy? Why would Juan be so angry that the women are spreading around that he's having an affair again?
And now he has paparazzi following him to the laundromat. Yeah. You can't even go to the laundromat with a friend. Why would he be upset?
What was the root of his anger? And she's like, yeah, he doesn't like what we do as women, you know, talking about the men. And he's like, leave me out of your silly women's business. And Andy's like, yeah, well, you got ripped apart for your family fun day event too, Robin. A from Jack says, Robin, how much money did you spend? More than $15? God, poor people are hilarious. What do you think of that, Robin?
Yeah, she's like, whoa, it was a very last minute type of event. He's like, yeah, but did you think not inviting Wendy, but saying Auntie Candace could bring the kids? How did you think that would go down? And Robin's like, I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, but would you send your kids if Wendy didn't invite you to a family fun day?
I probably would. I'm not capable of arguing with someone and then turning around and saying, hey, girl, how you doing?
Well, yeah, but then just don't invite the kids either, you fucking weirdo. It's so weird. Like, I hate you. But you can send your kids with somebody else. It just made it so weird. And so Wendy goes, I think you're missing the point, but you're woefully missing the point. And yes, I did say it woefully because it's winter. And Robin's like, of course I am. Of course I am. And she's like, because these are minor children. And if you do not want me there, that's fine. For you to ask Candace, who has never spent one-on-one time with my children by themselves, that is showing you never wanted to invite my children, but to alienate them. It's like, whoa, this was a really odd detective jaunt that Wendy just took us on.
Yeah. She's basically like, why would you, like, that's ridiculous. Like, that, I'm basically sending my kids off with, like, someone they don't know. So Robin's like, well, I was not deliberately leaving your children out. I just was, like, not inviting you, knowing that potentially that would mean that your children couldn't be part of this event, but I wasn't leaving them out, okay? I have nothing against your children except for the fact that they're born from you.
So Wendy's like, I don't know about that. So Andy goes back to Robin, and it's the news. It's the scandal. Like, Robin, Juan is in the news because one of his players came to him about being sexually harassed by an assistant coach, and he failed to report it. What can you tell us, and how is it affecting your family? And she's like, oh, well, I just want to be careful because it's a lawsuit and blah, blah, blah. You know, lawsuits. We all get them. You know, sexual harassment lawsuits. Who doesn't get them, right? Am I right? We totally all have them.
So, you know, the wrongdoings that have been alleged that Juan supposedly did are not true, and I know he handled the situation in a way that I would want it handled for my children.
Oh, really? So if your children were blackmailed and told their coach, you'd be glad that the coach did nothing about it. Okay. Well,
we gave everyone free hats from Embellish.
So Andy's like, so you're not taking away from what the victim is alleging from the harassment, right? I'm just going to help you out here a little bit.
No.
Giselle's not over there giving support yawns. Like, she can't even believe this is a segment. She's like, oh.
And Robin's like, I'm not disputing the catfishing or whatever went on between those two young men. I'm just saying the wrongdoings that they're saying Juan did not happen. And it's unfortunate that Juan's being used as clickbait for this of a story. And then
they're not saying Juan did anything. They're saying Juan didn't do anything. That's the problem. So I don't know. You're going to have an uphill battle with this one, especially because everybody knows you're a liar. Okay, carry on.
Well, you had a very triumphant ending to the season. I hope you understood the sarcastic notes in there. And what do you want to say to all the haters?
Be careful how you judge other people, because you never know what your situation's going to be. And I never understood the reason for the judgment. And if you're going to judge someone, wait till you find out what they say on their Patreon first before you make your full judgment. Thank you.
Robin, who's been following Karen around for 7 years now, saying she never lives in the house that she's in and that she's been cheating on her husband.
Be careful before you judge someone.
Okay, Robin. Okay, we'll all be careful about that karma now. You go enjoy yours. Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for any pizza landing on any doorsteps.
So now the guys are backstage, and Chris is doing that thing where he keeps his mouth closed, but he's like licking his teeth under it, where he's like, Chris, you know, I know this is a Chris victim season. I'm actually team Chris and Candace this season, but the guy gives me the creeps. I can't help it. I find this guy to be just gross. He's gross.
Chris was actually cracking me up this reunion, because he had such a funny way of arguing, because he was like really angry and impassioned and loud, but he was also being like oddly sensitive. He was like, I agree with you, and that's fair. That's fair. He kept on like yelling, fair, fair point. You're allowed to feel how you feel, okay?
He would immediately back down. It's like he could sense he was getting to be too much, and then he would back down and be like, but you're right, you know? And then
What I did, and that's fair, you feel that way.
You could tell that Candace was coaching him, because he would just get so indignant with his lines that he had written down, and then he would just kind of back off because he didn't know where to go from there, you know? Like, we needed to work on more backups with this.
Yeah. So, so he's like talking with Eddie and everything. And he's like, I got smoke for anyone who needs it. So then, now the husband. Yeah, I know. Chris is ridiculous.
He's like,
I just thought it was funny that he would just be yelling out things like, fair point.
Yeah. Oh, this is a long segment. So we'll get to it. This fucking guy. So Eddie's like, so, but you're not angry though. Eddie's questioning him, trying to get something from him, right? And he's like, but you're not angry though, right? You just more so want to set the record straight. He's like, my emotions are fluid. And Gordon's like, what does that mean? And he goes, I thought it sounded good. I just thought it sounded good. So the guys come out on stage, and then, you know, they're saying hi to everybody, their wives and stuff. And Andy's like, hey, Ray. And he's like, hello.
Andy.
Hello, little man. Nice to see you. It's like, okay. Okay, everyone have a seat. We're back. We're joined by the husbands. Hey, Ray.
You know what, Ray? I love how much you stand by LaDom. I don't think you've missed a reunion yet. Are you one of the LaDom squad? And Ray's like, ha, 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 I must be. And have you got new boobs? He's like, no, that's just old age. Wow, congratulations.
So hi, Happy Eddie. Good to see you. And he's like, well, I'm still smiling, Andy, but that doesn't mean I'm flirting with you. Okay. He's like, oh, damn. Robin, where's your new husband? She's like, at work. Because, of course, why would he make any fucking effort?
Yeah. Hey, Gordon, how you doing? Or should I say Daddy G? And G's like, or G money, or G love and special sauce, or A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or G, I wish I was your lover, or funky G. Okay, we got it. We got it. You got a lot of variations on the letter G. Okay.
Funky G, Medina. Okay. And it's like, so how you doing, Chris? And Chris is like, I'm here. I'm here, Andy. I'm here. He's like, all right, well, I know you had a difficult season, so thank you so much for being here to speak your piece. Hopefully, we all get a duck quesadilla out of it. All right, Wendy, you and Eddie got a lot of love for how you handled the Happy Eddie allegation. And I think they deserved it. I think that was so funny. I think the show has gotten so ridiculous with these cheating rumors every five minutes that just laughing it off is the best thing to do, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, he's like, how did you deal with Sesame Street's allegation? And Eddie's like, you know, it only impacts my wife and family if I take it seriously. I'm an easygoing guy. It takes a lot to get under my skin. She's like, okay. Well, Harper from Danbury asks, whose money is bankrolling Wendy's ventures? And Eddie goes, great question, Harper. And everyone just, like, laughs. And he just basically says that it's Wendy digs deep into his pockets. But it's a joint effort.
So then Andy pretends to be serious and says, Gordon, what was it like to go through Mia's health scare on television? Wasn't it just proven that nothing was ever wrong with Mia? Wasn't that proven on the show?
Yeah, but evidence? He was saying like they didn't know. So he gets choked up and he talks about that they went to the doctor 3 to 4 times in a week and so many questions and no answers. And Mia's like, oh, babe, don't cry, babe, stop, babe.
So, you know, babe, stop. You know, it's hard. It's hard, Andy. Unlike Gordon, according to Jacqueline.
Gordon's like, you know, to look at my kids and think they might be without a mother, you have to think about that. And that's hard.
Not his penis, though.
Okay, Mia, thank you. We got it. We got it, Mia.
Well, there's been speculations about this relationship with Jacqueline. Did you have sex with Jacqueline?
And he's like, the reality is we have not. I think of her as a little sister.
I'm going to need you to be more specific there, right?
Have you ever had sex with your sister before?
So he's like, did you have sex with any of Mia's friends? And no. And Eddie said, well, except Peter's girlfriend, right? And he goes, no, we didn't do the do. And Mia said, oh, they just had some foreplay. And so he's like, we did some feeling around, but never penetration. And Andy's like, okay, everyone's cracking up. But the follow-up question is, okay, so did you do foreplay with Jacqueline? And have you done foreplay? I mean, come on.
And then Andy goes, yeah, and Andy goes, so you haven't penetrated any of her friends. Okay, got it. Hey, Chris, obviously a lot to talk about on the heels of this penetration discussion. We want to give you the opportunity to speak finally for yourself because we have found that generally in society, not enough white straight men get to have a platform. So how did it feel when you heard Giselle's claims?
Good. So he's like, I can't even imitate Chris sometimes because I feel like it would be offensive. Yeah. But Chris is like, at first I was shocked and I'll say, you know, that I did say, Giselle, can we go to your room? And, you know, you thought your team was there. Okay. I will say that. Okay. And so Giselle goes, yes. And he goes, okay. And you're a grown woman and you have no problem using that mouth because you use it well. And she's like, Chris, can I stop you there? And he goes, no, you cannot because I'm not done. Because you've had your time and you've done your interviews and I haven't had these opportunities. It's like, oh my God, is this fucking Rosie Wakili in here? Who is this?
She's like, I will wait. Duh. He goes, so when we got to your room, you said I only said yes because I thought my team was in here. And then when you opened the door, like the team wasn't there. And like, why didn't you just say, hey, my team's not in here. Like, we can have this conversation later. Like, that's number one. Number two, you say to Karen, he needs to apologize for what he did. What did I do? So it's funny because I'm pretty much on Chris's side about this as well.
Me too,
But that being said, I don't think like – but like you're not like if someone feels uncomfortable by a situation like the way I think what we've learned is you don't say, hey, why didn't you speak up when it was happening? You could have spoken up while it was happening. I think we've learned like that's not really the issue. But like, well, I'm guys, on your side, Chris, but come on.
This is the thing.
Chris, this is why people tell you not to defend yourself, okay? If you are ever in a problem with the law, never defend yourself. You might think you're very smart and you can out-talk everybody, but you cannot. He's not even fighting the right thing. The problem is Giselle made him sound like he was a cheater. He was trying to cheat with Giselle, and she wasn't there for it. She called him a sneaky link. He was trying to see if she was down, and she knows that vibe. That was the problem, right? She lied. So he's not making it about that. He's making it about this thing in the room. And then I'm not really even believing him about some of it. Like, it's creeping me out a little in how he's describing it, because he's trying to convince us so much that he never was in this room alone with Giselle without the door open, without knowing it was offensive and this and that. That's not the point. The point is she's calling you a skeeve who was trying to fuck her, you know?
Right.
And I think if he wasn't fighting the wrong details, he would have been okay. But now I would send him to jail almost after. There would at least be reasonable doubt in my mind after all of what he said, because he's talking himself in circles.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, well, you know, you said to me, like, can you do me a favor and can we talk? And I said, sure. Then you said, can we go to your room? And I said, fine. And then you told your wife that I asked you to go to the room. And that's not true, Chris. I didn't ask to go to the room. And then we see a clip of Chris saying, we'll talk, which doesn't really solve anything.
No, the clip says, I didn't ask to go to her room anyway. She says that I asked to go to her room, but I didn't. I said, can we talk? And she said, yeah, let's go to my room. And so that cuts back to Giselle. And she said, yeah, you said that to her on camera, and that wasn't true. I never said, let's go to my room. And so Chris said, okay, well, we can agree to disagree right there. Because whatever it is, you feel how you feel, and I'm not discounting your feelings. Yes, Candace told me to say that, but you still have not told me, what did I do? What did I do? Because that's what he just keeps screaming over and over again.
And she's like, I'm getting there, Ryan. He goes, well, let's go, because you've had 10 months, and I've suffered through this for 10 months, losing clients, which I never had in the first place, and losing money, which I sort of didn't really have in the first place, and answer to my children, answer to my family, answer to duck quesadillas. So Giselle's like, Chris, he's like, I let you
by
talk.
The way, I'm sorry to be so dramatic, but he is literally, by the end of this, he's like, answering to my children, answering to my family. Okay. Calm it down, you fucking drama queen. My God, it's like they turn the spotlight on and he just goes.
So Giselle's like, Chris, I let you talk. And he goes, so spit it out. So Giselle's like, we're not going to talk if you're going to keep cussing at me. So Chris's like, what did I do? What did I do? And Candace goes, what's, and because Giselle's saying this is not cool. And Candace goes, what's not cool is your gutter snipe bitch ass lying on my family. And it's like, dun 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 dun.
And then we get my favorite. Okay, so this is my favorite sound effect. You know what it is, right? Brrr. Okay, so then if we get a follow-up to the brrr, 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 I was like, whoa! That was epic to follow up that brrr. I've never heard that.
Getting close to a polka, yeah.
Yeah. So then we come back from break, and Giselle's like, I haven't lied on your family. And Andy goes, just tell him what he did. Jesus Christ, this is exhausting. She's like, okay, so once we were in the room and talking, you had a lot to drink, and I immediately felt uncomfortable, Chris. That's it. And he goes, like, okay, fair. That's fair.
That's fair. Okay.
And then that's what you did. You put us in that situation. And I know that because the next day when I talked to Cal, and then we see a clip of Cal saying, when I left, I said, bye, Chris. And Chris said, bye, Cal.
Yeah. So it was like Chris knew that Kyle had left. And he goes, so for you, Cal was basically saying that it was an issue for him that she felt so uncomfortable. So it was sort of like evidence that this was something she was feeling at the time and that Chris and Kyle did say bye. And so Giselle's like, he said you very well knew he was gone. Nah. And Chris is like, is he a member of your team? And Giselle's like, Cal had been gone. He said, well, how would I know that? How would I know that? She goes, well, I felt like that situation of me being uncomfortable, you participated in. So Andy's like, okay, it sounds like that's how he made you feel, but not what he did. Okay. And it's different because if you say he needs to apologize for what he did, that's different for he needs to apologize for how he makes you feel.
And Chris goes, yeah, and you said that what you didn't like was the optics of that situation. And she's like, yes, absolutely. And then we see the clip of Giselle saying, I'm a woman who had a husband cheat on her, and I don't want to be put in the optics of cheating. I don't want that. So Chris goes, which is fair, but you know what? In that situation, the door was open. And she goes, no, it wasn't, Chris. So this is where he starts going off and trying to make little tiny points that don't even matter. Here's the thing. You're drunk. You're after a reunion. And you're trying to go have an argument with one of the housewives. That's not your place. You're a husband, first of all. So you should not have been in that room anyway, which I can't even believe that I'm saying. But after listening to him and watching this whole thing, you shouldn't have been there, okay? But that still doesn't give Giselle the right to make you sound like a sexual predator who was trying to cheat with her.
Right.
You know?
I agree. And I think this thing about like, but what did I do? You know, she's blaming him for putting her into this uncomfortable situation. And I have to imagine that like there has to be an element of her past with her husband, with Jamal, and also with Ashley, with her past with Michael, that like this, there must be some element of this that is like very, not triggering, but they are probably hypersensitive to these situations in a way that Chris did not realize. Or maybe you assume that
every man, because they were married to really sleazy men. So
yeah, they were like kind of traumatized by these guys.
Right, like when you're with a sleazy guy, you assume every guy is going to be that sleazy.
Yeah, so like in a weird way, I don't think it was right for Giselle to really make him out to sound like he was trying to make advances on her. But I totally understand why she felt uncomfortable. And I understand why Chris didn't realize he was being... he was putting her in that situation because he didn't have to think about that. That's sort of his privilege right there. And it's sucky that Giselle added that sexual part to it, but there's like a lot of power dynamics going on here. There's like the dynamics of like male, female, there's white man, black woman, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of subtext that's really actually coloring this entire situation in actually, I think, pretty interesting ways. Not saying like, oh, I'm so fascinated by this terrible situation they found themselves in, but like, there's a lot to actually, lot to unpack here. Ah!
Well, I think it's just another example of how tricky Giselle can be with her communication. You know, the way that she could make it out to be this huge thing in a storyline, but then when she's confronted with it, is really makes you think about it in a different way. Because when they show all the clips of Giselle doing this, none of this was like, oh, maybe Giselle really did feel threatened, or maybe Giselle really did. No, this was full on Giselle saying that man was trying to have an affair with me in a hotel room. You know, that was her really, to me, really going for a storyline. And I just think that she's pretty good because, you know, by this, I'm like, well, Chris is full of shit because he's saying, but the door was open. And we know that hotel doors close themselves. We know that they do. Everybody who's been in a hotel room knows that the door does not just stay open, okay? Yeah. And she's like, no, it was not open, Chris. And he's saying, and then you were lying on the bed with your robe on, which that wording is obviously him trying to imply something as revenge. But if you're trying to make up, then why are you trying to suggest that? Because that was very obvious. And then you're lying on the bed with your robe on. And she says, no, I did not have my robe on. And he goes, yes, you had it on under your dress, which he meant over. And she says, no, I was fully dressed. None of this is true, Chris. And he gets up and he goes, and then I stood and literally I said, I'm going to leave this door open because I don't want anyone to think anything. And she goes, this is not true. The door closed behind you. And he goes, with the lock open. And she's like, no, it's not true. Yeah,
That's basically like the door is closed. I mean, right? Like that's, you know, I think that to me, what I think happened is I think that Giselle in that scene at the coffee shop with Robin, Giselle was being shady and she's being like jokey and shady. But that was a moment where it's like, oh, your words actually carry a lot. This is a moment where like you're being shady about something. You got to be careful about it because she was like, wow, I was in a room with him. I was alone. It made me feel uncomfortable. I don't know. Like, is he going to hit on me or something like that? I kind of felt like she was sort of being shady and jokey. And it's like, oh, but then that became like a thing. And it's like, you can't, you're on television.
She made it a thing. She sat Candace down and said, like,
she sat Candace down to say, hey, just so you know, your husband may not realize this, but he's doing things that are making some of us feel uncomfortable. And then Candace, because she knows how Giselle operates, she was like, oh, if you're going to try to make my husband sound like a predator, I'm not having this. And to be fair to Giselle, she was just saying, hey, like he should just be aware because he may not realize these things like the DMs, that thing that happened to me, it can make people feel uncomfortable. You know, it's to Giselle's discredit that her reputation is bad enough that as soon as she starts going down that path that everyone sort of assumes that she's going to try to start pulling that, you know, like, oh, he's a sexual predator.
She did. But she did do that. I mean, as it went on, she kept changing her story. I mean, I think Giselle's a total villain in this. I'm totally on Chris's side. But I think what Chris did wrong here was he's sweating the small stuff and he's starting to argue like it's a crime to be in a hotel room with one of your castmates, which it's not. But they've got him thinking that that's the crime. And that's not the crime. You know, the crime isn't that you were in the hotel room. It's that she, what you're supposed to be mad at is her trying to make you look like a predator when you weren't, you know? So if anything, if you were in that hotel room, whether the door was open or not, of course, you just say, sorry, I made you uncomfortable. I thought we were talking as castmates and that's it. But you made me sound like a sexual predator and that's not cool. I've lost a lot of business for that, you know? Mm-hmm. But instead, now he's so paranoid that he's just like making it about whether the door was open, whether the door was closed, whether she put a robe on, whether she didn't have a robe on. And he's starting to sound cuckoo.
Right. And he's also like empowering her too. Like, fair. And that's your opinion. And you're allowed to have that. So, I mean, basically, I mean, what it shakes out is that, like, clearly what's going on here, though, is that, yeah, they have this disconnect over he didn't feel like he did anything wrong and you made me sound like I was this monster. And she's saying, I felt uncomfortable. And, like, she sees the act of her feeling uncomfortable as the product of an action. And he doesn't see it as the product of an action. And so that's why he's, like, upset that she, by her saying he did something, it makes him sound like he's a predator. And they're just basically just not aligning on the language that they're using. And Andy's trying to fix it by saying this is semantics, but they don't ultimately seem to really – they don't seem to really get it.
Well, it's not semantics because he won't even go down to the level of saying, okay, fine. If I made you uncomfortable in that hotel room, I'm sorry. That wasn't the intention. Instead, he's trying to be like you – because she did try to make him sound like a sexual predator. He's saying you – anyway, whatever. I'm like tired of it. It's like a circle. So Chris says, you thought, okay. So she says, the reason I brought it up, the reason I didn't say anything was because, the reason I finally brought it up is because I thought your wife should know. And that's it. And he says, you thought she should know at the time. Then why did it take 5 minutes until there was a camera in your face? And she's like, well, I explained that. It was because of Ashley's DMs. And I said, well, now that you feel uncomfortable, I added onto my thing. It's a whole lot. And then he goes, oh, yeah, the DMs. A reply to a social media post because it's social media.
And Ashley, who hasn't said anything this entire episode, is like, no, it was the nature of the DM. And, you know, it was a cause for pause because, you know, I was misinformed. I didn't know that was your job at the time. And Chris goes, fair. She's like, you know, and for Giselle, it felt like she needed to bring this to Candace's attention, just how I felt the need to bring the DM to Candace's attention. And he's like, okay, very convenient. Sure. I get it. No, every year, with the exception of this year. You talk about my penis, but I never say anything to you because I would never expect an apology because I never told you because this makes me uncomfortable. So there's no apology. And you felt that way in the moment. Totally fine. And you asked me to go. And I left. And you had feelings afterwards that we were uncomfortable. And that's fine. But that's not anything I did. So he's basically saying, like, I didn't apologize because you never told me there was anything wrong in the first place. I'm like, yeah, don't go down this path.
Yeah, he's saying, well, maybe I was uncomfortable that you always talk about my dick, but I never said anything, so I don't expect you to apologize. But she did say something. She did say it made her uncomfortable, which is why you should apologize. Do you understand how stupid you are right now? Like, you're making a case against yourself, sir. So he's like, you know, I didn't do that to you. And she goes, okay, well, who did it then? Like, who are we going to say did it? And he goes, Candace says, no one. And Andy's like, semantics, guys, come on. And so then they do that thing again. And Andy's like, well, Giselle, you just revealed that Chris did apologize to you in text. And Chris says, yes, at the finale party, I told production I didn't want to have a fight on camera. Because that was Candace's moment. So I did send Giselle a DM to apologize. That was a DM. Like, okay, you proved nothing with that, but keep yelling.
I know. I love that. He was like, he really felt like he had landed a really good point by saying it was an actual DM.
Yeah. Like, and he said, I said I apologize if I made you feel, but I said I didn't want to apologize because it makes me look wrong. And she goes, yeah, but I still feel that way to this day. I still feel that you made me uncomfortable to this day. And I'm entitled to my feelings. And he's like, then Candace comes in. Oh, my God. So then Candace comes in. And she says, it's an unbelievable parsing of words. You are a garbage individual and you have no soul. You are the reason women cannot come forward with sexual assault and misconduct allegations because you sit up here with your privileged white looking ass and you think you can say whatever you want to say and no one's going to bat an eyelash. And everyone's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Everyone's like, okay. By the way, I just want to just saying about like why people don't go forward with sexual assault allegations. I mean, I'm not even going to dig into all that, but like, but also like some of Chris's responses are also why people don't come forward because they are received with things like, well, why didn't you say something at the time? Why didn't you say something? If you were uncomfortable, you should have said something. So it doesn't count now. So like, to be fair, there's a little bit of that too, but either way, the comment about, you know, privileged white looking ass makes everyone in the room go,
yeah. And so, Mia says it's not fair, and Ashley's saying that's too far, and Candace is like, no, it is not. Your proximity to whiteness helps you to be able to sit up here and tell these lies. And Mia's like, you can't call her white privilege when she's a black woman. And Ashley says, you know, we just talked about colorism and you keep introducing it into this group. Like, we just had that conversation. And Mia goes, let's call Wikipedia.
So Wendy, I was actually grateful. I was like, because Wendy's like, okay, I better step into Professor mode. Yeah. I got to step out of reality star mode. Okay, Andy, can I say something? I know we just had the colorism conversation and one of the takeaways was to be mindful of the words we choose. Candace, I love you. You're my girl. I got your back forever, but you stated something about her white skin. I know you're angry, but I want you to consider on the heels of that conversation just what that may imply. And Candace is like, yeah, I understand what it implied. I know what I said, and I receive what you're saying. And she basically is like, you know, the conversation we had just still stands, but within that conversation, there has to be room for the argument that someone who looks like me making those accusations about sexual conduct is not often taken as seriously as someone who looks like Giselle. And that was the point she was making. And she says, was it inflammatory? Yes. And I'm sorry, but honestly, I'm not sorry about what I said. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Was it inflammatory? Am I sorry? No, because she has a lot of vitriol and hurt inside her, you know, for the way that Giselle has chosen to act. This whole scenario is hitting a lot of, touching a lot of buttons for them that like that have impacted their lives. And so that's why we're seeing them react about things that feel like they're not fully like at the center of this. But I think it's because it's such a, there are a lot of triggers in this. There are a lot of things that are going to elicit reactions based on their own unique and specific life journeys that have been impacted by their gender roles, the color of their skin, and all this other stuff. So I think that they're just kind of, it's actually a very, very sensitive scenario.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, well, I don't think it was appropriate, but okay. And Candace goes, oh, we could spend days on things you have said and done. And Ashley's like, but why can't we just let bygones be bygones? I'm bi, you know, and now I'm gone. And then I'm there and then I'm gone. And Candace is like, do not address me. And Ashley's like, I've never said anything about anyone's skin color in this group. And then Andy's like, okay, Chris, anything else? And Chris goes, you apologize, and I accept it. And because Giselle did we even say this part? Giselle did say.
Yeah, she did apologize for calling him Sneaky Link.
She did apologize for calling him Sneaky Link and suggesting that he was trying to sleep with her. And she felt bad when she saw that. And she said, I do apologize for that part. So he says, okay, you apologize, and I accept it. And Candace says, I don't. And so he's like, well, it's my feeling, though, in this sense, you know, and you can have yours as well. But she's offering the apology that wasn't offered before. And Candace is like, because it's a convenient time to offer an apology. I mean, it is a reunion, you know, it's like the time you're supposed to.
True. And he didn't want to talk to her at the finale, so there's that too.
This whole segment was really fucking weird to watch. It's like Chris screaming and having a fit, even though I think he had a right to, but then talking himself into a corner, and then still at the end of the day you're a dude yelling at a woman at a reunion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
there's still that ick factor
of it, and like you're also not very smart. Like your arguments don't really make a whole lot of sense. Like
Chris I'm talking about. It was just
there's a lot of gray areas that I'm happy to leave with this
let's
segment.
Leave him gray, man.
I just want to leave him gray and leave him behind, and I'm sure people have lots to say, but I'm pretty much done with it. Okay. So because I just am like, I would rather focus on more important issues like Tom and Ariana.
Well, and as we've acknowledged, you know, as we need to acknowledge often, I think it's not really our place sometimes.
Yeah.
And we have to realize our place of privilege and like where we need to shut the fuck up to. So yeah, I will take this as one of those.
We're trying to parse it as we can parse it, but like, you know.
Okay.
It's
so now the stupid Miami trip, everybody's funny. They went to a strip club. Oh my God, it was so wacky and wild. Karen doesn't like that boobs are called titties. Everybody's cracking up. And Robin getting drunk segment. And now the question on everyone's mind, what happened between me and Wendy? Who wants whose box?
Wendy's like, let the record reflect. We were all in the bathroom and we all were drunk, and Candace showed her coochie, and Ashley showed her coochie, and Mia showed her coochie, and then I showed mine, and there was kissing. There was no licking. It was just, I'm sorry, there was no kissing. There was no licking. It was just good girl fun.
Yes.
And he's like, ah. So then Ashley's, and then they say that Wendy had the prettiest coochie, and then he goes, okay, well, anyway, I'm sort of sad to end this fun and games segment right on the heels of a very intense discussion about sexual accusations. Anyway,
that's always what he does. He does it every time. He's like, wow, great sexual accusation talk. Let's talk about vagina.
That was a great fiery intersectional discussion we just had about very weighty, tricky topics all layered on top of each other.
Back
hey, you guys
boobs.
See each other's vaginas?
Back to boobs. Now it's another very important moment from a husband, because the husbands came pissed this time and they're like, I better get my moment to argue, right? So now it's Ray's time. And Ray's like, unfortunately, this season was nasty and I'm very disappointed with the ladies, pretty much all of them, because Karen is reserved and she doesn't get into the fray.
No. That's why she's back every season, because she's so reserved.
Oh, that's it. That reserved Karen. And she couldn't help but react to the nastiness this year. And Karen says, hold on, Ray. What do you think about the rumors, Ray? You're not done. You're not up, but stop trying to move your knees like you're about to get up. We don't have to start that 10-minute process right now, Ray. What do you think about the rumors, Ray?
He's like, the rumors are bullshit. Ray. So Andy's like, well, there was a photo going around of Karen that was supposed to be her and a blue-eyed man at a bar in Vegas. Will you? And you just say pshaw to that? He goes, Andy, have you seen the photo? Was it Karen? He goes, well, it was from the back. Well, Karen goes, well, I haven't seen the photo because they never would show it to me. And let me be very clear. If I had seen the photo, I would have said antelope. Antelope.
I would have said, let me be clear. Antelope hula hoop ring pop. Thank you very much, Andy. So she's like, well, they won't show me the picture, so I don't know if it's me or not. And Giselle said, it was 99% you. And she's like, well, and Andy goes, yeah, but it was just a bar anyway. Like, what's the big deal? She goes, yes, since when is being in a bar a crime? Well, does Andy have to give all of you a defense? How come you didn't say that in the first place?
Yeah. So then Giselle's like, and what you're saying about Juan, no pictures, no receipts. And Karen's like, oh, well, I have a photo. You want me to pull up my phone? I will have a photo. I have a photo right here in my photography application on my phone. I will get it right away. I definitely have it here. There's a photo that's most certainly on my phone.
And Giselle's like, okay. And Karen says, oh, no. Ray said no, so I won't do it. I'm good. I'm done with this.
Well, and she goes, Ray's like, they're
newlyweds.
Yeah, and Karen literally goes, there's no photo. And then she, literally a half breath later, she goes, I have it.
So Robin's like, so this is adjacent to sexual misconduct allegations, because when I saw the episode in Mexico, I did feel Karen implied that Juan sexually assaulted her. Oh. So Karen, now we see Karen's story of saying that Juan hugged her so hard that her breasts went into her spine. And Robin's like,
and as Chris said, those allegations are damaging and they stick. So I'd like to know why Karen, is that what you were implying?
And she's like, I implied no such thing. Did Juan touch me? And Ray says that day, Karen did actually say she was uncomfortable about how Juan touched her. And Karen's like, yeah, Ray talked me down. And she says, did Juan Dixon sexually assault me? No, he did not. Does he need to keep his hands off women inappropriately? Yes!
All right. So on that note, bye, husbands. See you later.
So the guys all leave. And then Andy's like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's finish this up.
Okay. As an homage to Miami, I'm going to end this reunion the same way we entered Miami. Ladies, I have gone high tech.
And then they start playing, they give Andy a JBL speaker that's playing Candace's new song. And he's just like waving it over his head, sort of like a very sad waitress at Republic. Just like,
oh, yeah. Wow, what a season. What a night. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, God. What? This has got to be the lamest toast. Like, they don't do a toast, do they? Or a shot?
No, they're just or an just, appetizer. They're just dancing. Nothing.
He just
they're dancing to a mid-tempo song.
It's Candace's song. Mm-hmm. Na, na, na. It's Candace's song, Insecure. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So they do that weird ending to a weird reunion. Okay. Yeah. So then, right, exactly what's happening right now? I'm like, oh my God, it's over. We did it. Nailed it. And then I start walking away and closing the laptop. But no, we have to come do some more Robin lies. Let's get to some more Robin lies. Okay, oh, so these are clips from Andy's Watch What Happens Live reunion that are not reunion. Watch What Happens Live with Robin one-on-one, but it wasn't a one-on-one.
It was, yeah, but it was also basically exactly what we already saw. So he's like...
yeah, we don't have to go over this point by point if you don't want to. You do it how you want. I'll follow you.
I don't know. I don't know what I have to say. To me, it's just like a wall of like ridiculous. It's just like lies.
You want me to speed round it?
Speed round it. It's just like okay. It was just like a big bullshit, a big piece of bullshit. And it was just like Andy was going hard. Andy was going very hard on her.
Robin does her whole story that Juan never really dated this girl. They just talked on Instagram, which wasn't cool, but it wasn't an actual affair. This girl came to see some other dude she was dating, but lost her wallet in a casino. So Juan went down to save her. And that's why there's a hotel receipt. And she totally believes that this didn't happen. And she's not a hypocrite at all. Just because she doesn't really have an answer for that. Yeah. And he grills her, like, why wouldn't you bring this onto the show? That's kind of bullshit that you're on a reality show while you're grilling someone the whole season about extramarital stuff. And then you hide yours. And she's like, why would I?
Yeah, I actually think that she didn't have to bring it up in the sense of, like, why would I bring up something that's going to be used against me? You know, she was like, I knew it was going to be used against me. I just, you know, it wasn't something she was going through and dealing with. So in a weird way, I actually get that. But the thing is, when they talk about infidelity, it's just weird that she acts like that it never happened, though. Like, I feel like there were some times where it was weird that it was not mentioned, but I can understand why she didn't bring it up to, like, Karen.
Well, here's what's weird to me about it. So we get to Karen, right? So Andy says, you're on a reality show. Infidelity has been the topic. You've played a part in the convos. How do you stay silent? And she says,
well, I was waiting for Karen to bring it up, but she just sat there and barely said anything.
So now you're giving credit to Karen for guarding you and protecting you and not saying anything. So which is it?
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense to me because she's saying, no, what Karen is saying about the blonde lady is false, but this other thing is true and everybody knew about it. So I figured Karen would bring it up. That Karen didn't bring it up. She protected you. So now are you giving Karen credit? Like, what's happening here? I can't even follow at the end of this.
Right. And so then Andy says, this is so funny. This is how reality producers work. I'm convinced. He's like, but if you're waiting for someone to bring it up, don't you think you'd have had more power and bring it up yourself and more understanding from the group? And you can say to Candace, I've been through this for real. And I understand how the accusation feels. It was like this, trying to manipulate her and be like, but why would she have more power?
in saying that. I don't know.
So then he's like, well, Candace is pissed. She's sending all these tweets about how much you suck now. And she's like, why? What does my stuff have to do anything with Chris? I stood up for Chris. And he says, it looks like Chris was the sacrificial lamb to protect you. And she said, no, I protected Chris. Giselle was the one. Yeah, but you and Giselle work for each other. Giselle brought up the whole Chris thing to protect you. Are you really so dumb that you don't see what the accusation is? Like, right. The allegation is that you purposely came, had Giselle go after Chris, and then you looked like the good guy by sticking up for Chris in case your stuff came out later so no one would attack you because you'd been sticking up for somebody who had been falsely accused. Like, so obvious, and she can't answer any of it. She just keeps spewing her lies over and over, and it's just really uncomfortable. I mean, it's finally to the point where she's stabbing her drink ice with the straw,
yeah.
And it's really so loud in her microphone, and he won't let her out of it, you know?
Right. I think the thing is, it's like, I understand why she didn't bring it up, but I think where it's harder to understand is that she goes so hard at Karen for having an affair in Vegas, you know, and that's what Andy brings up. He's like, you know, you're saying that Karen had an affair in Vegas, and you're showing this photo that's just Karen from behind, and you know, and because she's saying, Robin's saying, I don't go after the men. And she's like, he's like, but Ray's gonna be collateral damage. And she goes, but I wasn't coming for Ray, I was coming for Karen. And he's like, but you were coming for Ray's marriage. She's like, well, Karen came for mine first. And it's one of these things where it's like, you don't have to offer these things, but like, you're real ballsy. It's basically, you're real ballsy for going after someone for not being faithful when like Juan clearly cheated. Because this whole story about Juan and the hotel receipt and just talking to someone, Juan's a celebrity. Juan was a professional basketball player. He can smell this bullshit. Like if this person reached out to them or whatever, it's just gonna help a random stranger. Celebrities don't do that. I'm sorry. Celebrities are really protective about how, like, who they are around and who they help, because they know anything can and will be used against them. They just are. And especially someone like Juan, who is guarded enough to not go to the reunion and guarded enough to not want to be on camera very much because he knows it's going to be used against him. But all of a sudden, he's like totally down to help a random stranger, to help her get a credit card to check into a hotel. It's all bullshit.
But he's not really that guarded. I mean, these rumors about Juan have been going on forever because he's kind of careless. I mean, if we're to believe all the gossip that's been out there for all the years, they are just roommates and that they have this whole big thing to keep their storyline going or whatever. I don't know that I believe that necessarily. But he's got so many things. He's so brazen. He's not trying to hide anything, you know?
I guess what I'm trying to say is that when she's saying, oh, it was just, he was just being very, he was just being a nice guy. It's like, no, I don't think he was being just a nice guy.
You're right.
Because he knows how that would open himself up to allegations. And he's like very squirrely, at least on camera, about these allegations. So the only reason why he'd be doing this stupid cockamamie story, it like helping the stranger, is if like there is something going on. Like, I firmly believe that.
He was going to get some sex out of it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically he's like, don't you get sick of publicly defending Juan all the time? And she's like, I don't feel like I'm publicly defending him all the time. Maybe the two of us, like our family, but like I don't even call it defending because I don't pay attention to stuff as much. Oh, really? Then why are you always telling everybody to watch who they bully? Because they too will be bullied. And she's like, I just know why we're together, and it sucks that he's even dragged into this. I'm like, oh my God. Robin.
Yeah, but that's the point. Like, he doesn't like being dragged into shit. So like,
also, if
he doesn't
Karen like being dragged into your marriage first. You came for Karen's marriage first. Not this season, maybe, but years ago with that old Blue Eyes shit. You came for Karen's marriage first. As I recall, my memory is that of an older person who smoked a lot of weed. So I think it started with Robin, but what a 5-year-old answer anyway. Like, what are you in middle school? Like, come on.
Everyone was anticipating. There were rumors that Andy, at the end of like this footage, we're going to see him fire Robin right there. But of course, that didn't happen. I didn't think that would ever really happen. Instead, it just ends with them going, okay. And she just looks like a fool.
And that's it. It just ends on Robin looking like a dumbass, you know? So congratulations on your wedding season. LOL.
I know.
Wow. So everybody, thank you so much. This was a intense one. And good to talk to you for sure. Go check out the Vanderpump Rules special. It's up now. And catch our bonus episodes. I guess this week for bonus, we're going to be doing...
That was our bonus.
I mean, videos. We'll be doing a couple of videos. Crappies on Demand.
We'll do New Jersey and we'll do...
Below Deck.
I guess those are our... Or we could do Summer House.
We probably should have done this one. I don't know why. We just didn't think of it earlier, but...
There's a lot going on. It's going to be either Summer House, New Jersey, or Below Deck. So everyone stay tuned.
Yeah, you'll see on Crappens on Demand. Thank you so much for being with us. Go grab live show tickets for the Pump Rules recap in Charlotte this week, followed by a Miami recap in Atlanta this weekend. And all the rest of our tour dates at watchwhatcrappens.com. Love you guys so much. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for this season of Potomac Bravo.
Yeah, thanks. One.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desist.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.